So you've got me instead of Steve this morning. Thank you. I just want to, you know, because nobody said anything, I just want to commend you guys for the play that you put on, for everything that happened last week. I went home on Sunday like a proud mother. I know, it just was like, oh wow, this is our church, it's amazing. But what I'm going to share with you this morning is more like a little bit of our journey, but something new. Because what has happened in my life over the last 18 months has been good and bad. And so I've just got to just share it with you. But what has kept me as in the most stable position I've ever been in my entire life is a revelation of the love that God has for me. And I was just so amazed at how it came through in the worship. It's just that constant love that God has for each and every one of us. And if you haven't got that revelation, if you're not a walking, talking revelation of God's love in your very own heart, I beg you to spend time with God until that one thing is downloaded into you. Because for me, it has changed everything about my life. When I've had highs, I've been high. When I've had lows, I used to shout at God. Because I used to mix law and grace and religion and Catholicism and charismatic religion. You know, you just bring the whole thing to the party. And so what would happen is, I would get really, really cross at God. You are almighty and you're so powerful and you're all-knowing and look what you've allowed to happen to me. And I would have this big, long shout at God. And I felt pretty justified because he, after all, had allowed it because he's in charge. And now what happens? I still get cross, but I don't get cross with God anymore. I actually get cross with the people that have actually sort of put me into this place where I'm angry. So it's kind of like I've learned through the grace message and the message of God's love for me to separate man's behavior from God's behavior. Whereas in the past, it was a big mishmash of like the sovereign God who allowed people to behave badly in my life. So it's really, really brought such an incredible, solid foundation into my life. And I really want us as a body of believers here not to confuse God any longer with people's behavior. You know, it's really like God is so separated from people's behavior. He's actually given us every single solution to every single problem on planet Earth. And if we choose to do the wrong things, there's nothing God can do about it because he's created us in his image. And that's with a will. If we weren't created in his image, we wouldn't have a will. Okay. And also, you know, like the devil gets on the bandwagon a lot of the time. You know, like you hear words like even in that one song this morning, I don't know if I go with it quite, like I tremble as I go into his presence. There are words like he's sovereign, he's holy, he's almighty. And I mean, they're all biblical words, but they're words that Satan and law and legalism and religion attach to like a person who's way out there and unapproachable and far beyond us. So all those words, yes, they apply to God. But they don't apply to us because we are a part of his body now. Okay. I don't know how Steve's going to follow this, but all I know is that I know that my God, my daddy, my Abba, whatever you want to call him, your Jehovah, he's not mad with you. He's mad about you. Okay. And his love for you never changes. Never, ever. It's completely constant. God says, I change not. He's completely in love with you. We need a revelation of Jesus, though. As a church, we're so far away from that. It's actually scary. It really, really is. You know, it is. We have moved so far away from that initial revelation of the impact of what Jesus Christ makes on our lives when we get saved. That we become so theological and profound and clever and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that we just leave that initial revelation far behind. And it's that very thing that brings us into his love, into his presence. And Paul says, I want you all to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants us to have more and more knowledge about Jesus Christ and what he's done. I'm just going to read to you from Ephesians 4, verse 14 now. It's in the Living Bible. And this is part of finding your stability in God, even when you're going through a trial. Ephesians 4:14 in the Living Bible says, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Now, what happened is I became a stable person I've loved Jesus for many, many, many years of my life, since I was 21, and I know I look good for 101 years old, but I've loved him, but for so many years of my life. But you get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, every new idea, every this, and you move in every direction. And just, I want to take us just a little bit back in Ephesians chapter 4, where from verse 12, and it's speaking about prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. The scripture there says that their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and build up the body of. This is to continue until all of us are united in our faith and in our knowledge about God's Son. Until we become mature. Until we measure up to who is our standard. Then we will no longer be tossed about like children and carried by every kind of teaching, every wind, every influence, every strategy to lead us astray. Instead, as we lovingly speak the truth, we will grow up completely in our relationship to Christ, who is the head. Now, what I want to just emphasize here, that there is the mission of an apostle, pastor, teacher, and the fivefold, is to actually establish you in your relationship with Christ. And when Rob came here to Highway, what did he do? He took us and he established us back in Jesus Christ. It's amazing how far away you move when you actually see prophets, teachers, evangelists to do so many other things. And every scripture in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation can be opened up, and you should be able to see Jesus in every single part. And if the fivefold ministry is not opening up so that you can see Jesus more clearly, have a solid foundation, you can end up being like the Ephesian church, tossed. Because it's so nice to hear something new and applied to your life. So we need a revelation of God, but we also need a revelation of Jesus inside of me. Jesus, the Father, are one. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. So try not to ever separate them. It's so easy to say, Jesus, the one that loves me because he died, but the Father's this austere, holy, I come into his throne room trembling. Try not to ever separate God and Jesus and the Spirit of God, because they are one. Okay. We're going to go on to Galatians 2:20, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me, if you want to read along there. I just feel a little pressure because of the time. How are you guys doing? Anybody got a roast in the oven they've got to run home to? Okay. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to go through that scripture very nicely together this morning. Okay. The first part says my old self has been crucified with Christ. And I just believe in order to get a revelation more and more and more and more of Jesus is just to take us back to the cross. Okay. I mean, a lot of you're thinking and you're feeling 101, I know. You actually don't know. I'm telling you now, you don't know. I have been in the ministry since, 24 years old, and I still don't know. So if you're telling me you know, I feel sorry for you, because there's so much more to God than what you can imagine. So much more. And I'm going to pray over you right now, because I don't believe that it's just words, it's just scriptures. I believe everything that we know when we walk and we move in comes by revelation of the Spirit of God. And I just want to pray over you, okay? Father, I pray for this beautiful bunch of people here in the Highway building this morning. I command ears to be opened, eyes to be opened, spirits to be opened. I command a receptive spirit over every single person. Any lie that has kept people captured in any way whatsoever, I break it off of them right now in Jesus' name. And I release the spirit of revelation to every heart, to every mind, to every ear, to every person right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, give your word life. Breathe in your word. Spirit of God, just come and breathe in your word. I release angels just to come and just touch people as they need to be touched in Jesus' name. Okay. So, my old self has been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. What does that mean? That means I'm dead. Do you see yourself as dead or do you see yourself as alive? I'm sure you see yourself as very much alive because you've still got the same memories you had before you came to know Jesus. But the scripture says, you no longer live. Okay, you no longer live. That means that everything that you are, that you am, and that you will become belongs to Him. There is nothing that is separate from you and Him. You are not alive. The Bible says we were crucified with Christ. We were crucified in Him. We were with Him. It's like you've got to see that you died. You are dead. And that's the beginning of having a revelation of who you are in Christ, is that you are dead. Don't confuse your little bodies and your memories with the life that you now have in Christ. So it says there, my old self has been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Jimmy brought in a beautiful illustration one Sunday evening, and he can shoot me if he's planning on bringing it in the next week. I just loved it. He used his hands, and I don't know where he got it from. Maybe he can even do it better than me, but it was just like God is in Jesus, Jesus in the Father, I am in Jesus, Jesus in me, the Spirit of God is in me, the Spirit of God is in the Father, the Spirit of God. There's just such a mishmash of who am I and where do I fit into the Godhead, because He's in me and I'm in Him and He's in me and the Spirit of God and the Father. And we're just so intermixed and so intertwined that there's absolutely no separation. Amen. There's no difference. When God sees you, He sees me, He sees the Spirit of God, He sees us, He sees God, He sees Jesus. We just, boom, one. You know, like Steve and I were trying to sort our Christmas lights. Who's ever pulled their fairy lights out of a bag for the next Christmas? They've got a way of just doing this to each other, hugging that one end to the other. You know, they're still part of something, but you can, to get them apart, it's like a heck of a job. And they never, ever come apart, even though they go out in one string. And it's just like Christmas lights. You just get so intertwined and so intermixed that, you know, and it doesn't matter how the devil tries to pull you off. Even if you get your way a little bit, you're still tied onto that rope. You're still part of that vine. You know, so it's like, you know, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For a part of me, you can do nothing. Why can you do nothing apart from him? You're dead. I lay in bed one night a little while ago, a couple of months ago, and for me, this is a heavy revy, but I don't know about for you. You know, it's sometimes like when you share things that God just shows you with other people, you just see this blank look, like, hello? You know, there's no one home, and for you, it was like your heart went ding, 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 you know? So, but I just lay in bed the one night, and I just felt God say to me, can you feel me inside of you? And I felt like He went to my fingers and to my toes and to my brain and to every part of me. And He said, Jan, because I'm inside of you, I can heal and touch any part of your body. Because I'm inside of you, I can go into your mind and I can set you free from bad memories. And He just like said to me, I want a healthy body. I want people with whole minds. He says, it's what I want. He says, because I've chosen to live inside of this thing called a body. And he, you know, it's, I just want to say here, by no means am I bringing God down to our level, because I know the religious people go, hey, you can't say that. Oh, you can't say that. God can't be inside of you. You can't be like God. Because what I'm wanting to do this morning is not bring God down to our level, but bring us up to His level so that we can know that we're seated with Him, that we're inside of Him and He's inside of us. But even more than us knowing we're inside of Him is to know that He is inside of each and every one of us. His life, His glory, His presence is inside of us. You know, sometimes when something is a part of us, we're not always aware of it. Like your ear. You didn't know your ear was there until you touch your ear again, but it's always there. But if your ear went missing, you'd know, I'm missing an ear. And it's very much like the presence of God inside of us. Let me tell you, if the presence of God leaves you, you will know. But the Word of God says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never take my presence from you. And that's why we get so used to it and accustomed to it that we actually don't get excited about the incredible presence of God. And then we see somebody who's praying for somebody and they fall down and there's like an anointing. There's such a difference between what they call the manifest presence of God, when you see outward manifestations, and the indwelling presence of God inside of us, which is a constant, so that His power, His Spirit can heal you, touch you, and set you free. The scripture also says, in the presence of God, there's healing. In the presence of God, there's joy. What else is in the presence of God? There's so many things in the presence of God. And where is His presence? It's inside of me. It's in my hands. It's in my head. It's a part of me. I just think we need to start getting excited about that again. He doesn't differentiate and say, oh, you're a good person, I'm going to give you lots of my presence. No, you're average. You can have a little bit. I'll fill you to your knees. We actually have the same presence of God in each and every one of us. Me, you, one of the children out there in the children's church who's behaving badly, even my delinquent son has the presence of God inside of him. Stephen's like, what are you saying? Okay. My old self has been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now I live in this earthly body, this earth skin suit, trusting in the Son of God. So what we see now is we cannot live in this earthly body unless we trust Jesus. Okay, now how do we trust Jesus? Go on dates with Him. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. That's the only way you're going to learn to trust Jesus, is about allowing Him more and more and more and more access to your life. When you don't know somebody, you don't trust them. When my kids were little, if I didn't know somebody, I wasn't going to arrive, knock on their door, and drop them off to be babysat. But the more I trusted somebody, the more I knew I could put my kids in very safe hands. Now, sometimes the devil or other people will lie about people. And then what happens to your trust? It gets broken. It might be a lie, but you're not going to qualify it. You're probably just never going to let them babysit again. Especially if you know that they abuse children or you've heard that they're a pedophile. It could be a total lie. But that is what Satan does about Jesus all the time and the Father. Is he lies to you about who they are and how much they love you and how much you can trust them. Because he doesn't want you to get to that place where you can trust in the Son of God completely with every part of your life. So you need to have dates with Jesus. You've got to get to know him. It's an imperative. And how do we get to know him? The Word. The Bible says fivefold ministry should be teaching you who Jesus is, what he's about. And I'm not a fivefold person, but I'm just praying that this morning, like, you're going to just get more and more revelation of Jesus and who he is so that you can trust him in this horrible body of ours. I mean, okay, let's not call it horrible because Corrine will preach then on the power of our words. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. That scripture is actually the word knowledge and revelation are intermixed. My people perish when they're not having revelation, when you're not moving forward in your knowledge and your revelation of Jesus Christ, who we are in him and who he is in us. With the knowledge of Jesus, the scripture says we become established. We become mature, not like children tossed to and fro. I'm just going to bring a little bit in what Wayne shared, but it's I think Joseph Prince shares on it quite intensely, is that we are Kainos creations. We all know, who was here when Wayne shared on being a Kainos being? Okay, a Kainos creation is something that has never existed before, a brand new creation. It's not a copy of a copy. It's something totally original, something out of the box, something, it's got to be created out of nothing, basically. That's what a Kainos creation is. Now, the scripture says that we are Kainos creations, brand new creations. And the Bible actually says that the angels stand in awe of these Kainos creations. You actually see that in the scripture, it says that they rejoice every time somebody's born again. Because they go, oh, there goes another one of those funny bodies. They they look like God, they look like Jesus, they look like the Holy Spirit, but look what they're wrapped inside of. They get excited because they see the very presence of the Godhead coming into another body. Boom, 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 here on planet Earth. And that's what a Kainos creation is. A Kainos creation is when you die and the presence of God comes to live inside of you and you are a brand new thing in God's never before seen creation. The Bible even says we're a peculiar people. We belong in heaven, but we're living here on planet Earth. And the angels are in awe about us. I mean, really, the angels are in awe about us. Can you know that, like if you knew, like Bible says that angels are very powerful beings, okay? It says, and even though they know how powerful that they are, they won't slander or curse any other celestial being. That's what the word says. So can you imagine us as Kainos creations, with the very presence of God inside of these bodies, along with angels that the Bible says are there to help us in our ministry, to serve us, they're more powerful than any demon. Because the Bible says they're more powerful, and they know they're more powerful, but they would not slander Lucifer. So, I mean, it's an incredible thing, the power that we have as human beings, Kainos creations, with the presence of God inside of us. And Jesus was the very first Kainos creation. He came to earth, the Bible said he emptied himself of his godliness. He lived like we did up until the time we were born again, exactly like us. He needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He needed friendship. He needed time alone with God. He needed everything that you and I need. But he was the very first Kainos creation. He emptied himself, then got refilled with the Holy Spirit, just as we should be when we become born again. And then he functioned to show us how we as individuals can function as Kainos creations. It was almost like a demonstration of, I'm doing it, you can do it. He was no different to us. I think sometimes we think God, Jesus walked on water. He did. But he was no different to us. He says, you will do greater things than I will. And you know what? I'm probably jumping a little bit now. But the reason we can do greater things than what he did is here I am. I represent Jesus Christ. Okay? On earth. He born in flesh, born again into the Spirit, filled with the presence of God, intertwined with the Godhead. One of me. That's how Jesus functioned. One. Times alone with the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit, needed friends for support. Now, if you want to count how many people are in this room, every single one of you are a duplicate of Jesus Christ when he walked planet Earth. Can you imagine the power that's in this building right now? No wonder he said, you will do greater things than I will. Not as an individual, but as the body of Christ. There's incredible power in this room right now because of the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Father, dwelling inside of these human bodies that are dead. But it's Christ living now through you. Amen. Not you making a decision to do something. It's Christ living through you. When I move my arm, I've got to know that Christ is moving my arm. And this way and that way and whatever I do. Okay. And Satan will try and keep us from the very revelation of God inside of us because it's an incredibly powerful revelation. Just as the dark ages were coming to an end, and there was a lady by the name of Madame Jean Guyon. She was a very upper-class lady or whatever, and God basically gave her a revelation of Christ and God within her, and she started teaching it to her peers that actually God has come to dwell inside of you. And people were like, their eyes were opening to the presence of God when they started focusing inward instead of outward. And they actually locked up in the Bastille until death for that revelation that she had. It was considered witchcraft. And Satan's tools are always the same. Guilt, condemnation, religion, hierarchy. I'm closer to Jesus than you because I'm standing on the stage. Okay? Just you remember that, people. If you want something from God, you have to come to me because I'm higher, you know? And that's what hierarchy is. Somebody's higher than you are. In the kingdom of God, there's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female. Sorry, Steve. We all one and the same. Okay. Do you like being married to an it? Okay, we've got to start seeing that when I move, he moves. When he moves, I move. We're not separate from him. We are not separate from him. You're not going to work in the morning and leaving the Father and the Spirit behind at your quiet time. Okay, he's with you 24/7. Okay, so I live in this earthly body trusting Jesus, trusting the Son of God. Our earthly bodies, the Bible says we have his mind, 1 Corinthians 2:16. I know his thoughts, the Bible says. I know everything that he thinks. I should, because he's inside of me. And sometimes we're prompted to do something and we think, no, that's me, but it's actually God. And if you've surrendered your life 100% to Jesus Christ, don't keep second-guessing yourself. Follow what God is doing. The Bible says we have his spirit, the same spirit that was inside of Jesus, inside of us. We have his body, Ephesians 5:30. We are members of his body. Brand new creations, an incredibly powerful presence on planet Earth. We have all the attributes of God inside of us. Okay, we'll go on. The Bible says here, I'm trying to see the time. I'm also getting to that age where I need glasses. How are you doing? Okay. Next part, it says, he loved me and he gave himself up for me. That's another part of trusting in the Son of God, is knowing where and how he gave himself up for you. I'm going to move a little bit quicker through this. And because hopefully Stephen is going to take you on a little bit more of a journey there. But I just want to say there's not one thing that Jesus did that was accidental. Every single thing on planet Earth he did was 100% with you in mind. 100%. I'm going to bring you into a whole lot of what I called yesterday my so that is. Okay. So we're going to go through my so that is. One, he was born into sin on our behalf so that we can be born again into the very holiness and presence of God. My so that is didn't come into my notes. Okay. No, it's fine. It's just the first one. He fulfilled the law on our behalf, the commandments, the ceremonial laws, the rituals, etc. All those rules and regulations that I would never be able to keep, he kept them on my behalf so that when God sees me, he sees me as a righteousness of God. He took our sin, punishable by death, upon himself so that we wouldn't have to be punished with death. And in exchange, he gave us eternal life. Because, you know, the scripture says, if you take it under the law, which is old covenant into new covenant, under old covenant, even if you coveted, who here has never coveted something? Oh, okay, let's get the stones. Because it was punishable by death to covet. If you've wanted or desired anybody else's girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, clothing, homes, cars, lifestyles, you've coveted and you are punishable by death. And he took that punishment on himself so that you don't have to be punished for it. Okay. He went to hell on our behalf so that we could experience heaven, both now and later. He gave us the keys, the Bible says, for that. He was punished and suffered on our behalf so that we didn't have to bear any eternal consequences for our sin. There are natural consequences in the here and now for bad behavior, but even that God will turn around and use for your good if you give it over to him. But there are no eternal consequences for what you've done. He allowed God's anger and wrath to be put on him on our behalf so that we can have God's favor and blessing. He was raised on our behalf so that death would no longer have a hold over us. He was separated from the Father on our behalf so that we will never experience separation from our daddy. I will never leave you or forsake you. The Bible says we are one spirit with the Lord. He cannot. I don't even think he wants to. He went through the desert on our behalf so that we can live 100% next to a stream and be evergreen trees. There are no spiritual seasons. There are no spiritual seasons for a Christian. There are natural seasons in our life, but there are no spiritual seasons. Okay. He was belittled and ridiculed on our behalf, so that we don't have to be intimidated, feel intimidated when we share our faith, share what we know, because he says the insults that they put on you, they fall on me. If you're not there, they go to him. He overcame temptation on our behalf so that we can be overcomers. The Bible says, let no man say he's tempted of God. God doesn't send temptation your way. So that we know that the devil has been overcome and defeated on our behalf. In the desert, he faced temptation, overcome, was for us. The devil lies to you when he tells you God is tempting you to grow you. He doesn't grow you like that. He was cursed on our behalf. The very nature of his death was a cursed way to die. He did this so that we can be blessed. The very word blessed is the same as the word prosper, which is eulogia. It was a word that God spoke over Abraham and Sarah. And there's a word here that some of the very wise ladies in the Wednesday morning knew, but I had never heard before. It was called fecundity. Who knows what the word fecundity is? It means fertility, that you're going to bear children. And part of that word eulogia, where God says, I will bless you, I will prosper you, was success, prosperity, fecundity, longevity. Jesus became a curse so that I can be empowered to prosper. He took death upon himself on our behalf so that we can be healthy. He took sin upon himself on our behalf so that we could be holy. He made covenant with God on our behalf. This to me is absolutely amazing. Sorry. Jesus went back to the Father. I'm sure this is what he said to him in one of his quiet times. Yes, it's hard in a human body. You have no idea. I'm sure he said that to the Father. He said, like, you don't know how hard it is. He says, every single moment of every single day, I want to step back, not even have a quiet time. I'd rather sleep. I'd rather go fishing. He says, it's heck of a hard. He says, you know what? If you make a covenant with those people like you did with Abraham and Sarah, I'm guaranteeing you now it's going to be broken. They're not going to be able to keep it. It's heck of a hard on planet Earth. So God says, don't worry. I'll put myself inside of them, and I will make a covenant with them. And the Bible says that God made a covenant with himself. He swore by an oath by himself, on himself. Not with you and I. We are in that covenant because we are dead and because the very presence of God is inside of us. A covenant that cannot be broken because he's made it between himself and himself. Does that make sense? Because for me, it's incredibly powerful. So you can have fecundity, prosperity, success, whatever you like because of the covenant that he's made. He suffered a pierced and a tortured mind on our behalf. In the Garden of Gethsemane with the crown of thorns, so that we can have a peace that transcends understanding. He drank the cup of bitterness on our behalf, so that our family doesn't have to be cursed, and our children do not have to live under the curses of forefathers. He became the blood over the mantle of our lives on our behalf, so that evil, when it sees us, has to pass right over. He prays for us, so that even when we forget or we don't know how to pray, we still have that high priest praying on our behalf. You know, Stephen said that there were 800 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled when he came and right through to his death. And I believe if we had to find 800, we'll probably find every single one that were fulfilled for a certain reason, that nothing was done by accident. Okay. We have become one with our Creator. Hebrews 13 verse 5, he will never leave or forsake us. Ephesians 5:32, this is another powerful verse. We always take it and we use it for marriage. But it says, this is a great mystery. He's actually using marriage, an intimate relationship between a husband and wife, as an illustration of what it's like with him inside of you. He says, yeah, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Who is the church? You one with Christ. There's no separation. Even if your partner is not a very good partner, Christ, you're one with him. Okay, we live as one being with him in his promises, in his love, in his presence, and in the finished work of the cross. We are temples holy and inhabited by an immortal, powerful, glorious God. We have his mind, we have his body, we have his spirit, and the Bible calls it a mystery because not everybody grasps it. Not everybody knows that when they leave this building this morning that the presence of God is going with them. They sometimes think it's left behind. Okay, and in the same way that we apply forgiveness to our sins, Jesus, forgive me for my sins, we apply soteria, salvation, to our lives. You know, the word salvation is just like so huge. I mean, it means so much. It's healed, delivered, saved, prospered. And you know, if God had any bad intentions for you, he wouldn't have called the very word salvation, salvation. He would have called it, come to me, end of the story. But he put words over you like salvation, prosperity, favor, blessing, increase, the power of God, the presence of God. Those are the things that the Father speaks over you. So I just want us to pray together, if we can. You can stay seated. I know some of you are rushing. I'm sorry. But let's just pray this prayer together. And if you could pray after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the incredible price that you paid for me. For laying aside godliness and heavenliness. Coming to earth to become an overcomer. In my place, so that I can now live in you, and you in me. I can inherit, establish, and overcome. I ask for a renewed mind and a constant revelation of your presence inside of me. Okay, amen. We are 100% man, we are 100% God. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to go with you today. But I really wanted to do something before we go. Have I got time at all? If anybody wants to go, please go. There's just one more thing I want to do. Okay. I just feel that we can't just have this like incredible power of God inside of us now and be aware of it. Okay. If there's anybody in this building right now that needs healing or a breakthrough in the area of lives, stand up. Not all of you, only those that are really, really needing it. Okay. Now, there are countless creations around you. Okay. Where are all these God people out here? There are people in need. Run, run, run. The very presence of God inside you. Now, you go and you stand with somebody that has a need. If you don't have anybody standing with you, just keep your hand raised. Because some of these Kainos creations are going to go stand around you and release the very power, present, healing, anointing of God inside of them to you, to your body. Has everybody got somebody with them? Anybody? Anybody not got somebody with them? Father, I release right now the very presence, the power, the spirit, the anointing of the Father inside of these Kainos creations to bring healing from the inside of those in need and healing from the outside of those who are laying their hands on them. I just command a release of anointing and the presence and the power and increase of healing, healing to touch every single person. I break the power of Satan that is keeping people down and under that are fighting for a breakthrough. I release breakthrough in Jesus' name. I bind anything that is stopping breakthrough over the believers' lives right now in the name of Jesus. And I release breakthrough. I release breakthrough. I release the thoughts of God into their minds to bring them to their place of breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for an incredible release of anointing, of power, and your presence inside of people. Thank you, Lord. And it's not our faith, believers. The Bible says that it's faith of the Father inside of us. It says, what if us don't have faith? It says, don't worry, because there's faith inside of you because of the Father. Let God be true and every man a liar. The faith of the Father is inside of you to touch, to deliver, to bring, to anoint, to heal. I release it right now in Jesus' name. I release your body, Lord, to function as you designed it to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.